Started this text on Wednesday, and I tell you, it has stirred my heart. I don't know if it's done anything for you as we give a lot of it or just barely made it to the point on Wednesday that we're dealing with, but I am sure enough thankful for this passage. The Lord has laid this thought upon our heart. You can stand with us if you're willing and able to do so, and amen. It's preaching time. And don't forget, we've got Brother Pace coming in here in just a few weeks. And he'll be here, I believe it's, the 26th, 23rd through the 26th, something like that. And we're looking forward to the preacher man being in with us and excited about what God has for us. All right? Be praying for him. He's always a blessing every time he comes. And no doubt he'll be a blessing again here to us, amen, in a few weeks. Exodus chapter number 4, and we're going to read our verses again, verses 1 through 9. The Bible said, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. The Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground. It became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. The Lord said unto Moses, put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. Put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee. The Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, verse 9, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Want to continue our thoughts this evening on signs that you've been with God. The signs that you've been with God. You can be seated. Let's pray together. And I beg you to pray for us tonight that God would help and use us again this evening in this place to be a boost to the people of God tonight. Heavenly Father, we love you this evening. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, we humbly bow to ask again mercies of our God. We know tonight you are the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Lord, tonight we're glad we've been brought into a relationship with you. And Lord, we know thee, the only true God, and his Son, whom thou hast sent. Lord, I pray now this evening in this place be magnified. May thy word have preeminence. And Lord, may the people of God, by the word of God and by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, receive, Lord, instruction and doctrine, Lord, that we could adorn upon our lives, Lord, even this week. Lord, I pray that you'd increase and grow our desire, Lord, to be in the presence of God. Lord, not just to be there, but Lord, to indeed experience, Lord, in our life, the victory and the signs, Lord, that accompany somebody living in the presence of the Lord. Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you and bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We understand that Moses' life, he lived to be 120 years in studying his life in light of the scripture. We know that his life is divided into three 40-year sections. Birth to 40 was lived in Egypt. He was born in Egypt, but born in a child of Israel, of the people of God in that pagan land. And God had divinely and sovereignly spared his life even from birth. We understand that at the age of 40, he chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. He chose that rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And so by faith, Moses forsook the land of Egypt. The next 40 years, from the year 40 to the year 80 in Moses' life, was lived in a place called Midian. He was there in the land of the Midianites. He was there in a place in which he was a stranger. He was there in a place that was unfamiliar. And for 40 years, he lived there. He lived there. And I'll say some more about it here this evening. But he lived there at a distance, it would seem like, from really hearing anything directly from God until he was 80 years old. Then at the age of 80, we find that he's sent back. That's where we're reading from tonight, that he's going to be sent back into Egypt to be their deliverer. He's going to lead Israel out of Egypt by the power of God and the blood of the Lamb shed and applied to the doorpost. God will use Moses to lead them out, harnessed together in ranks of five. Having spoiled the land of Egypt, he'll lead them across the Red Sea by the Mount Sinai, lead them to the very banks of the Jordan River, and there in Kadesh Barnea, they'll spy the land. They will, from that point, reject the will of God, and for 40 years, Moses will lead the people of God around the wilderness to the very day of his death. When he dies, God takes him off the scene, having led them back again to the very border and the soon coming entrance into the land of Canaan. And so in our verses here tonight, we find that what we have read take place in that latter part, the last days of that second part of Moses' life. These verses actually are a continuation of Moses' experience in an encounter with God that began in chapter number 3 and in the opening verses throughout the chapter and then on into chapter number 4 when we've read this evening. This whole experience, according to chapter number 3, it is known to us and known since our days of being in Sunday school as we've been taught it as Moses and the burning bush. The burning bush, a bush burning in the wilderness in which Moses was in, was not a rare thing and was not a rare sight. It was not uncommon that the bramble in that dry and arid land that Moses is in would catch fire from time to time. But this day it was different in that as he looked upon this particular bush, and Brother Larry, it was different in that it was burning, but it was not consumed. It was on fire, and yet it continued to burn, and yet the bush was still intact. And that so impressed and enthralled the heart and the eye of Moses, he turns his head to see. There, my friend, he would have an undeniable encounter with Almighty God. A man that is going to bring him out of that wilderness that he has been in for 40 years. That place that Moses even testified, and I am a stranger in a strange land. And we said a lot about that encounter and that experience in the life of Moses. And used chapter number 3 to break all that down. I really don't want to preach all of that over again tonight. Amen. But I will say that, amen, this was an experience that Moses, amen, seemed to not always be alive in Moses' life. I'm not saying Moses didn't commune with God. I'm not saying that Moses, amen, didn't have a life of devotion and worship to God. We know he chose God over Egypt back at the age of 40, and that, Amen. He was a man of faith when he forsook and fled that, amen, that evil and that wicked land, even under the circumstances he was under. Amen. There is an unseen hand of God that Moses seems to have a relationship with. Amen. But Matthew, what takes place in Exodus chapter number 3, amen, is going to be, my friend, something that is so impactful, something that is so influencing upon his life, amen, that Moses is never going to get over. And let me say this tonight, every day of our Christian life, amen, is not a burning bush experience. Amen, I dare say we wouldn't be able to handle that if it was. Amen, and yet what I do appreciate about Moses, amen, even though this was not a common experience in his life, amen, maybe it had been a little while since he had heard anything from God. Amen, chapter number 3 and verse number 1 said that, amen, he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now you say, preacher, how do I have one of these kind of encounters with God? How do I experience something like, amen, Moses did, and the application of it in the way that you're preaching these services? Amen. What I like about Moses, according to that verse, he was hanging out around where he knew God dwelt. Amen. When you're a stranger in a strange land and in a wilderness set, and you feel like you're on the backside of a desert, amen, if you want to be with God, you can be, and God will show up in your life. Amen, but it's on you and me to be hanging out around where God dwells. Amen, so many tonight will never experience a real personal, amen, special, secret, surprising encounter with God. Amen, because in their heart they do not walk where God walks. Amen, but I like that about Moses. Somebody say amen. Amen, he's just running around, hanging out around, amen, where he knew that God dwelt. And so God shows up on this particular day, amen, and makes it a significant place in Moses' life. And so through a series of, amen, of dialogue back and forth between the Lord and God and Moses we've had, amen, when we come to our text, it Moses has a problem, if you will. He has, amen, an issue that he needs God to settle. Amen, God has said through the burning bush, I'm going to send you back to Egypt, and you're going to be the deliverer for the people of God. Amen. Now Moses said, Lord, when I get there, they'll not believe me. And they're not going to hearken. Egypt will not hearken to my voice. And he said, Lord, I already know them well enough to know that what they're going to say is, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. In other words, Moses said, God, you don't understand. Hey, man, if I'm going to go down there and lead them out and tell them what you've told me to tell them, amen, it's got to be evident that I've been with you. Amen, there can't be any doubt about it. And so God's answer to Moses' concern about this matter is, he gives him three signs in the verses we've read, amen, that indicate and will be evidence that, amen, Moses has indeed been in the presence of God. And so we're using these verses to preach on, amen, the signs that you've been with God. Amen, it Moses knew it wasn't enough that he went down to Egypt and stood in Pharaoh's presence and in the presence of the people of God. It wasn't enough for him just to say that he had been with God. Amen. He couldn't go down there and be a braggart and, amen, try to convince them himself by, amen, this experience that he had. Amen. He needs God to put some evidences in his life. Amen. Things that go beyond what a man or a woman has to say about themselves. Amen. Some evidences that people can, amen, examine and stand back, amen, and watch somebody's life amen, and say, amen, that indeed this person has been with God. Amen. We need those kind of signs in our life. Amen. 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 Nobody is under obligation to believe you and I. Amen. That just because we say we've been with God, there ought to be some signs. There ought to be some victory. There ought to be, amen, there ought to be some things that stand out in our life. Amen. That indeed we have been with God. It does bear saying again tonight, as we did on Wednesday. Amen. That the world and God's people who are struggling need to see Christians who have, amen, some evidence that they have been with God. Amen. In the context, we understand there's a Pharaoh in Egypt, and there are Egyptians down there who are the taskmasters that, amen, are plaguing the people of God. They're God's children. And God just said in chapter number 3, amen, I want you to go tell them I've heard their cry by reason of their affliction. Amen, there were people in affliction. There were people whose backs were being broke. Amen, people who were under a burden. Amen, and so they needed somebody who had some sight and evidence in their life that they had been with God. Amen, oh, I'm telling you tonight, amen, there are days and times in my life I need to be around some people, amen, that it's evident they've been with God. Amen, there are times I need to be that one that, amen, is living around somebody else, amen, that has the signs and evidence in my life that I've been with God. Amen. And so, amen, we understand tonight this is an important matter. Amen. We use the New Testament illustration of Acts 4:13. Amen. That those in Peter and John's day in that early church, amen, they examined them, having examined them and watched their boldness. Amen. They counted them to be ignorant and unlearned men. Amen. But this they testified of those men of God. Amen. They took note that they had been with Jesus. Amen. That is, they said, they don't talk like we talk. Amen. They don't carry on in the religion we carry in. Amen. In fact, everything about their life, amen, testifies, and they've been spending time with that man of, amen, that man of Galilee, that one who said he was the Son of God. These men, amen, bear evidence in their life they have been with him. Amen. And so to be with God, to have the, amen, it noted in our lives that we have been with Jesus or been with the Lord, amen, denotes union by association, companionship, by process, by resemblance, and ultimately union by possession. Amen. In other words, there ought to be folk that can look at our life, amen, from time to time and say there's no doubt about it. Amen. They have the evidence that they have been with God. Amen. They're possessed of Him. They are enthralled with Him. They're associated with Him. Amen. He must be their best friend. That's all they want to talk about. Amen. And I'm telling you, when people mock you, make fun of you, and ridicule you, amen, because all you want to do is talk about Jesus and the Bible, amen, and about what you've got from God, amen, I'm telling you, let them ridicule, let them make fun of you, let them call you an old holy roller and a fuddy-duddy. Amen. All that means is you've been with God. Amen. And that crowd, they don't like that because they don't know anything about the evidences of being with God themselves. Amen. And I'm telling you, if there's anything our nation needs tonight, amen, oh, that we could be with God, amen, in such a way that others would take notice, amen, that He has made a difference in our life, amen, that my friend, they could watch us and listen to us and be around us and have a sense in their heart, amen, that there's something different about you and me. Amen. They see enough religious people as it is. They see enough churchgoers as it is. Amen. They've met enough hypocrites as it is. Somebody help me now. Amen. They, my friend, have seen all sorts and kinds. Amen. But may, my friend, we be a reflection as, amen, children in the family of God and His members in the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle. Amen. That indeed we have the evidence that we've been with God. Do you know anything about that? Do you know anything about these things that, amen, we are saying tonight, has He made a difference in your life? Amen. Are you possessed of Him? Are you possessed of Him? Do you resemble Him? Amen. Is your life being lived in a process whereby, amen, your union and your connection to Him is growing? And, amen, being more purified and being brought along in growth and in spirituality? Are you in that process whereby, amen, you're becoming less carnally minded and more spiritually minded because, amen, you have been with God? That, amen, is what we need in this hour. Amen. We don't need more Christians relevant to this community and more relevant to this generation. Amen. Oh, God didn't call us to be relevant. Amen. He didn't call us, my friend, to, amen, make the world feel comfortable. Amen. He saved us and we can know Him and spend time with Him and then be a reflection of that in the generation we're in. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. Amen. Pastor, preach on 3 more hours right there. Amen. We're living in a generation, buddy, I'm telling you, they have missed it. Amen. Amen. And by the way, you let people get around you long enough, they'll be able to tell who you've been with. Amen. It'll show if you ain't been with God. You talk like Hollywood and about Hollywood. And, amen. Carry on like that. It's evidence who you've been spending time with. Somebody help me. Amen. Amen. We need some children of God that will say, amen, I'll hang out around where God hangs out. Amen. And I'll let God bring an experience in my life whereby it'll be evident I know something about being spending time with Him. Amen. And so let's look at it tonight. Amen. Let's look at it tonight. I want to be a help to us. Amen. Because in chapter number 4, there is by way, amen, of a picture, I think, that is painted, amen, that gives you an application of 3 sides. Amen. Now these were given to Moses to go to Egypt. Amen. And to put these on display among the people of God. Amen. Very specific things, but in application and in type, amen, they reflect some things to you and to me. Amen. And so we'll give you 3 signs tonight, and these 3 signs given to Moses and show the evidence of him having been with God. Amen. Number 1, let me say tonight, and we give these and throw them out. And I won't elaborate too much on them tonight. A few things I want to draw your attention to. Amen. That I think's important tonight. Amen. By the way, again, spending time with God is not evidence because I say I've been with God. And the signs of being with God are not evident by some goosebump or feeling that I've had. Amen. No, it will produce some very spiritual things in our life. Amen. Number 1, consider with me this first sign. Amen. We'll call it tonight, courage over the serpent. Amen. There'll be courage over the serpent. Amen. Moses said, Lord, they're going to say the Lord had not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said, well, let's take care of that. Let's give it a sign in your life. Amen. That'll be evidence. And I have appeared to thee. And you have spent time with me. And Moses, what is that in thy hand? Moses said, it's just a rod. Amen. All it is a rod. God said, throw it down on the ground. Amen. And we read it tonight. And you're familiar with this story. And when he threw it upon the ground, his rod became a serpent. Amen. Now Moses did. I said on Wednesday. And it, amen, needs to be said on the radio. radio, because, amen, some of you snake handlers in our county, amen, need to learn the wisdom of Moses. Said, amen, when the serpent got around, he fled from it. Amen. He did, my friend, what anybody with any measure of sanity has. Amen. When that thing turned into a serpent, when it became a viperous, amen, that creature, amen, Moses, the Bible said, fled from before it. Amen. Now we understand the serpent in the Word of God, amen, most oftentimes is a type and a picture of Satan himself. Amen. In fact, he's called a dragon. He's called a serpent. Amen. In the Garden of Eden, when Satan came to tempt mankind, amen, he was in the form of a serpent. Amen. That he clothed himself to appeal, amen, unto man in that temptation. Amen. He was that serpent that was cursed in the Garden of Eden after the fall of man and sin had been introduced. And so in Satan, we find, in the serpent rather, we find, amen, we find a picture of our adversary, the devil. Amen. Somebody said, boy, the devil's on a rampage. And he is. Amen. In fact, Peter said, amen, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. And so he's on a tear tonight. Amen. And buddy, I'm telling you, it seems like, amen, Satan is stirring up trouble everywhere that we turn and everywhere that we look. Amen. And I find here, when this rod became a serpent, amen, evidently that serpent began to come at Moses. Amen. That's why Moses fled from before it. Amen. This thing is trying to attack Moses. Amen. But don't you ever forget what I'm about to tell you. Amen. In this type, in this picture of Satan himself. Amen. You know what the devil wants to do? Amen. He wants to drive you and me out of the presence of God. Amen. He wants to turn the heat up. Amen. He wants to produce fear in our life. Amen. And put us on the run the whole time. Moses, amen, is so worried about fleeing from the serpent, he doesn't realize he's leaving the holy ground he's been standing on. Amen. And the devil, he don't want you on holy ground. Amen. He don't want these signs in your life. You've been with God. Amen. He'll do all he can to get you to fret and fear over, amen, who he is and what he's doing. Amen. The pressure that he's turning up on your life. Amen. Oh, are you listening tonight? Amen. But ain't it amazing? He had been with God. Amen. And it was there in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And Moses learned how to have courage over the serpent. Amen. You see, God didn't want him running from the devil. Amen. And I ain't about all this deliverance junk. Amen. This bunch of deliverance garbage that's going on in our day. Amen. There ain't a devil in every door and behind every, amen, every little issue going on. It ain't the devil. Amen. Though I believe in the devil today. Amen. And I want to say that God doesn't want us running from him. Amen. God doesn't want us, amen, fretful about him today. Amen. He is safe. Amen. He is an adversary. He is ruthless tonight. He is evil tonight. Amen. He does come but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Amen. And I'm telling you, without being with God, we're no match for the devil. Amen. But because Moses had been with God, amen, God stopped Moses in his tracks, amen, and said, Moses, amen, pick up that serpent by the tail. Amen. Yes, you watch this crowd always talk about dealing with demons and dealing with the devil. I don't believe none of that junk. Amen. If you talk about it all the time, amen, I've done read the book of Acts, and that crowd thought they was going to mess with the devil, amen, and whip up on him and all of that. Amen. Them devils said, we know Jesus and we know Paul, but who in the world are you? Amen. They started trying to pick a fight with something they had no business picking a fight with. Amen. But I do believe in satanic attacks. I do believe there is such a thing as spiritual warfare. But when spiritual warfare comes, amen, we are not called to live in fear. We're not called to sit around and fret and pull our hair out. Amen. Now you will if you ain't been with God. You say, boy, the devil, he jumped on me and he's wearing me out. You know what I'm going to tell you? Amen, you ain't been with God. I'm not saying it can't affect our life. Amen, I'm not talking about the hedges and all the doctrines told in the book of Job. Amen, but I'm talking about, amen, those that have been with God. Amen, God said, Moses, it's time. Amen, you quit running. One of the signs you've been in my presence is you can pick up the serpent by the tail.
Amen.
Amen. That means Moses has got to quit fleeing. He then has to turn back to the presence of God. And to do so means he has to resist the same serpent that has previously come at him and resist him. And now the one that is fleeing is not Moses, it is the serpent. If he's going to grab it by the tail, that means that when Moses turned back on that serpent at the word of God and by the amen, presence and the power of God in which he's living in, amen, that serpent said, uh-oh, amen, and the serpent's the one that turned and began to flee. Amen, that sure sounds a lot like me, to me, like what James said in James 4:7. Amen. If you'll resist the devil, amen, he will flee from thee. Amen. You say, preacher, you scared of the devil tonight? Amen. I'm not asking for any trouble from him tonight. Amen. I ain't trying to pick a fight with, amen, with him. And let's be honest about it. We're in a spiritual battle. Amen. We're in, and it seems like it's growing on every hand. Amen. You look around our nation tonight. Amen. It is obvious the serpent's been set loose on our nation. You got God's children cowered down in corners. Amen. Afraid to make stands and afraid, amen, about what, amen, is going to happen to us. Amen. Can I say when we've been with God, when we have been in His presence, had a special, unique, significant, amen, encounter and experience with our God, amen, there will always be a sign raised up in our life. We have courage over the serpent.
Amen.
I think about, oh Lord, think about some of the serpent scenes in the Word of God. I may not get off this point. I don't mean to bog down here again. I'm having a time, Brother Jack. I hate the devil. I hate him. My old granddaddy used to say, I hate the devil. And the next time you talk to him, you tell him I said so. Amen. I won't say tonight I hate him. Hate what he does, and I hate, amen, the ways that he comes at God's people. That, amen, the antidote to that, children of God, is we've got to have spent time with the Lord. Say, prove it, preacher. You remember over there, Paul is, amen, on that ship, and they're sailing him back to Rome. Amen, the storm comes up, Brother Mike, and amen, all that ship was afraid that their lives are going to be lost. In fact, they, amen, they began to get ready to cut, amen, everything loose. And they, amen, was going to slay those prisoners that were on board. But it was Paul that stood up, amen, on that boat. And he said, fear not, brethren. Amen, he said, the Lord has stood by me this night. Spent time with God in that storm. You know, that storm, Euroclydon, eventually busted that boat to pieces. But everybody got safe, amen, to land. And land, amen, according to the next chapter, was the island Melita. Y'all remember what happened on Melita, don't you? Amen, Paul's over there, amen, gathering a bundle of sticks to put on the fire. Amen. And while there's a fire burning, a serpent, a snake, amen, came out of the fire, and the Bible said it latched hold of Paul's hand. Know what Paul did? Paul didn't go, boo hoo, boo hoo, the serpent's been so mean to me. No. You know what he did? Bible said, amen, he shook it off back into the fire. Amen. How does a man do that? Amen. How does a man not bellyache? How does a man, my friend, say, amen, I may have been snake bit, but I'm going to keep on serving the Lord. I ain't going to give up, and I ain't going to get discouraged. Hey, amen. How does he do that? Amen. You better, in the previous chapter of your life, have spent time with God. Amen. You can't have courage over that serpent. Amen. You know what I see a lot of people do? They carry around their snakes, amen, their snake bites, and show them off. And all the while, every day you do that, you're giving glory and credit to your adversary more than you are giving glory and credit to the God who wants to give you courage and victory over the adversary trying to bring you down. Moses said, Lord, they're going to say, but you've not appeared unto me. God said, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to give you a sign. We're going to teach you something right here in my presence about courage over the serpent. Is that important? I believe it is. Do you want to know what the emblem was for Egypt? It was the serpent, the cobra. Amen. It was an ensign in, throughout the land of Egypt, much like the eagle is for America. The Egyptians believed the serpent to be, amen, what represented them. The Pharaoh had on the insignia of his crown, that of a serpent. Amen. He represented, Pharaoh represents the devil. It represents, amen, the God of this world, the prince and the power of the air. Amen. And Moses is going to have to go back, amen, and look him eyeball to eyeball and say, here's what God said. Here's what God said he's going to do for us. Amen. He's got to learn in the presence of God what it is to have courage over the serpent. Because you know what's awaiting him in the next chapter? The serpent's going to be there. But Moses can stand, amen, against Pharaoh. He can stand against the insignia of the land of Egypt, amen, and do so with courage in his heart and his soul. Amen. And everybody can look at him. Moses don't even have to say anything about all of this that God was doing. Amen. He had a sign when he stood there that day in the presence of Pharaoh in Egypt and stood up to that serpent empire. They said, this man must have been with God. Amen. You know what people around you tonight need to see? They need to see that emblem, that evidence, that sign in your life that you are fighting a victorious Christian fight. If I've heard it once in 20 years of pastor, and I've heard it enough times to make me sick the rest of the days of my life. Why'd you do what you did? Well, you know that old devil now. That old devil now. And I'll be honest, I've had my full of that. You say, why? Because I preach every week in my life nearly. We can have the victory, spend time with God. Get your nose in the book. Get yourself in the secret place. Hang out where God is at. Amen. And learn how to have some victory in your life over the devil. Amen. Is that right? That old devil, the devil made me do it. No, amen, you didn't hang out with God. You didn't spend time with God. Amen, and if the devil did make you do something, amen, it's your own fault for not being with God. Amen, the devil made me do it. Ain't that just so mature? And I'm going to tell you something. You got to learn how to say there is a path of victory. And I'm telling you what your pastor needs to see tonight. Are y'all listening? What your pastor needs to see tonight is some evidences in your life that you've been with God, that you got some courage to resist the very adversary that's out to get us.
Amen.
I'm wore out most days just watching people fall prey to the enemy. Brother Larry, I ain't here to bellyache tonight. I'm here to help us. Because you know the fact of the matter is, what you need to see tonight is a pastor that's been with God and has some victory. The person across the aisle from you tonight needs, my friend, you to, amen, have been spending time with God in a way that it would be evident that, amen, you ain't always falling prey and resisting and fleeing the presence of God because the devil made it hard on you. Amen. I thought greater was he that is in you than he that is in the world. Come on now. Come on now, you say, boy, you just don't understand, preacher. Hey, I'm living in the same flesh you are, living in the same world you are, living, trying to live the same Christian life, and we've all been saved to live. Amen. And I'm telling you over and over and over in the Word of God, we have been told that we can have courage over the serpent.
Amen.
But you'll have to spend some time with God. Amen. Does his fiery darts always bring you down? Do you ever quench the fiery darts? Come on now. Some of y'all giving him a lot of credit, and if he's as successful in your life as some of y'all say he is, that ain't an indictment on him so much as it is us.
Amen.
Somebody help me preach now.
Amen.
Preacher, what do I do? That's what I'm telling you tonight. Amen. Get to where God is. Let God, amen, let you have an encounter with him in such a way that you rise up and have courage over you. Amen. Amen. Again, I ain't talking about this deliverance garbage going on in our day. A bunch of idiots. Bunch of idiots commanding the Holy Ghost to do this and that against the devil. God didn't call me to command the Holy Ghost to do nothing. God sent the Holy Ghost to command me to spend time with God so that I could fight a good fight of faith. There is victory tonight. You say, preacher, you don't know the things I'm going through. And I'm not denying there's not an enemy. I'm not denying the existence of the serpent. I'm not even denying the existence that he is turned on us and trying to run us down the road. What I'm saying, girls, is you can get in the presence of God. Turn on him and stand in that word you've been given from his presence. The devil go, uh-oh. And the devil be the one that turns and flees from you. You can get the devil by the tail and say, by the power of Almighty God, you will not destroy my life. Ain't that good? Well, I was going to try to give you all three of them, but I feel like we own something we need to preach on now. I'm done.